Welcome to First Presbyterian Church. It's a little unusual to be gathering in this manner, but we have assembled a under 10 congregation and an opportunity to be able to sing and worship and provide you with the best possible avenue of worship that we have been able to come up with at a short period of time. You can expect that this manner of worship on our webpage or on Facebook will become what we will do until we are allowed to come back to this place. And I'm sure that we will be growing and developing in our process and understanding of how to accomplish all that we are seeking to do. Hopefully, there are many people who are visiting. And if you're not a member, a regular attender, we hope and pray that all that is said and done in this worship experience will draw you closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'd have you shake hands, but you don't need to do that. And so at this time, we'll invite the choir to come forward, and we will begin our worship service with our introit. Let us pray. O God of this morning hour, as we are... O God of this morning hour, as we have gathered together in this place and in this way, we pray that your Holy Spirit would fill us with your light and your hope in the midst of all that is taking around us and taking place. We seek to glorify your holy name. Bless us, God, as we bless you, the Lord and giver of all that is. May everything that is said and done during this time worship, praise to your glory. Amen. Join me in the call to worship. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving, and let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Our first hymn this morning is hymn number 138, Holy, Holy, Holy. of the things we didn't have was a cell phone attachment for the tripod. Geico commercial where the guy says, we'll just fill it in, you know, and he says all the wrong things, and we'll just fill it in. This time in our worship service, we come to a time of confession. The word confession in the original language simply means to say the same thing as or to agree. And so now, in the words of the Apostles' Creed, which we will respond to responsively, let us confess our faith. And so I ask you, do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And I ask you, do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. And I ask you, do you believe in God the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. The word confession, as I said, means to say the same thing as or to agree. And not only do we have a confession of faith where we acknowledge who we are and what we believe, but we also acknowledge before God our need for a Savior. And so those who are present, let us pray together. Do not harden your hearts, O God, to the sound of your voice. We confess we don't listen to the word that you send. You give us Jesus, the word of life in our midst. We confess our delay in obeying the directions he brings. You promise the Holy Spirit, a source of counsel and power. We confess ignoring such guidance since we do not respond. Forgive us our sin and help us through Christ to enter the rest that you have promised. Amen. The good news in the gospel. In Jesus Christ, you are loved and you have been forgiven. Make the commitment to love and forgive one another. People were gathered here today, I would say something like I always say about those that are visiting, do not need to give, but this is for those that have made a commitment to the regular work of Jesus from this corner to give. We do invite everyone that is following along to your own churches. If not this church, send in your tithes and your offerings. The church at this time will be needing your gifts, your tithes, and your offerings. At this time, we'll have the choir sing a special number. Comes from the book of 1 Samuel. We are reading from chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. 1 Samuel 16, the first 13 verses. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem, for I have chosen one of his sons to be the king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? Saul will hear about it and kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." And Samuel did what the Lord said, and when he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. And when they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands before me and before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Now Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are all of your sons, is this all the sons that you have?" "Well, there is still the youngest," Jesse answered, "but he's tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent and had him brought in. He was ruddy, with a fine appearance and handsome features. And then the Lord said, "Rise up and anoint him. He is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Samuel then went to Ramah. And then also from the New Testament, we're reading in chapter 9. It is the whole chapter. And it is one particular story, chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. "And as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' 'Neither this man nor his parents sinned,' said Jesus, 'but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world.' Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud and with saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. 'Go,' he told him, 'wash in the pool of Siloam.'" This means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" And some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they demanded. And he replied, "Well, the man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and to wash. So when I went and washed, and then I could see." "Well, where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. And they brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. And now on the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes, it was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others ask, how can a sinner do such miraculous signs? So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes that he opened. And the man replied, he is a prophet. The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son, they asked? Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that he can now see? We know he is our son, the parents answered, and we know that he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we do not know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. Now you see, his parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, he is of age, ask him. A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God, they said. We know this man is a sinner. And he replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. And then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And he answered, I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciple too? And then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. The man answered, now this is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to godly man who does his will. And nobody has ever heard of opening eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. Now Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. And Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. And then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, what? Are we blind too? And Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Light versus dark. Health and wholeness versus sickness and disease. They all come together, good versus evil. They all come together in the Gospel of John. And here in chapter 9, John uses the whole of the chapter to embellish his narrative, to tell us his story of Jesus. Jesus is shown to be the same I Am who originally brought light into the darkness in the very beginning of Genesis 1. John continually will jump back to Genesis and make connections to Genesis and to Jesus. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. Let us pray. God of this morning hour, as we have gathered together in this manner, in this place, we are praying for your light to shine upon our hearts, to shine upon all who will hear and see this video and listen to your word. Oh God, be with this preacher. My sins are many. Forgive me and help me to bring a message of hope and salvation to your people. Jesus, in your wonderful name. Amen. Over the years, as you have been listening to my preaching, you have heard me say time and time again, talking about something known as the cosmic conflict, preaching about the battle that continues to rage between the forces of good, of right and truth, versus the forces of the evil one and all of his heinous dominion. John's story, which is intended to show Jesus' role in this whole battle, might be difficult to understand if at first we didn't go back and look at some of the context of when and where Jesus is placed by John when he gives us this story and when Jesus heals the man born blind. So let's think for a moment what has just taken place in the life and ministry of Jesus. I know the text from the lectionary tells us to begin in chapter 9. But let's consider what has just taken place by going back a chapter or two to see what has led up to this individual's healing. We begin in John chapter 7 and verse 40. On hearing Jesus' words, some of the people said, surely this man is the prophet. Others said, he is the Christ. You see, the battle of the cosmic conflict is continuing to mount. The religious leaders want Jesus stopped. They want him silenced. And so they send some of the temple guards to go get him and bring him back. And yet the guards come back empty-handed. John 7:45. Finally, the temple guards went back to the chief priests and the Pharisees, who asked them, well, why didn't you bring him in? No one ever spoke the way this man does, the guards declared. At this point, an individual with whom we are familiar speaks up. The man's name was Nicodemus, and he wants to put in a good word for Jesus. You remember Jesus, we had just talked about him a sermon or so ago. Nicodemus had gone to Jesus in the middle of the night in secret, and after that interaction he had come away favorably, positively. And so Nicodemus says to those who are gathered, it wouldn't be right to condemn this man until we have heard from the witnesses first. Consequently, the leaders decide to go out and listen to Jesus again, and in the process they hope to round up a couple of witnesses that they can use to get rid of him. And so that brings us to chapter 8. And now remember, we're still looking forward to chapter 9. Jesus continues to teach the crowds in the temple court, and that's when the story of the woman caught in adultery takes place. She is plopped right down in the middle. Jesus was teaching the crowd. They were in a circle, and they bring this woman and plop her right down, caught in the act of adultery. Remember, these are the same leaders that want to see Jesus gone. They want to see him dead. So without going into the whole exchange of chapter 8, Jesus draws attention to the whole cosmic conflict narrative, and he claims to everyone that he is on the side of this battle, which is opposed to the side that the religious leaders are standing. Listen to the line being drawn in chapter 8 and verse 12. And this is right after Jesus has said those remarkable words, "Let he who is without sin cast the first stone." And then Jesus goes back to talking to the crowd. And when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Now, thinking about this in the context, it simply blows my mind. I hope you're following along in your Bibles. Speaking of Bibles, this would be a great time to put your pastor on pause or to hit the mute button. Go get your Bible and just open it up to John and chapter 9 so that you can follow along. You're going to have an opportunity. You don't oftentimes have this wonderful opportunity, so take advantage of it. This is where the light versus the darkness theme that John has been presenting throughout the gospel is showing that Jesus is the one and the same as the one who had brought the light into the midst of the darkness all the way back in Genesis 1. You see, the themes are identical. Traveling just a few more verses, John is also going to show us that it was Jesus who was the same one who spoke to Moses from the burning bush. Jesus spoke to Moses from the burning bush. I thought you would say, "No, wait a minute. I thought it was God that spoke to Moses from the burning bush." Well, is that what it says? Do you remember how it begins? Let's read this passage. It's a great passage. And if you're reading through the Bible plan that we have presented here this year to read through the Bible in an entire year, then you will have just read this passage this past week. And it's found in Exodus and chapter 3, beginning in the very first verse. "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel," who? "The angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw, though the bush was on fire, that it did not burn. So Moses thought, 'I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up.' When the Lord," that's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that's the tetragrammaton, "I am who I am." "When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush." Have you ever noticed? It's the angel of the Lord and it's God who is speaking. "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." And then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." This is exactly who Jesus is claiming to be. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Listen to Jesus' response to those who were opposing his message in John chapter 8, verse 57 and 58. "You are not 50 years old yet," the Jews said to him. You have seen Abraham? "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." That's the tetragrammaton, the four letters, the words for God from the Old Testament. So now we have the backdrop into which John lifts us up and plops us down in order to begin to hear the story of the man born blind. And there's a great exchange about the origin or the theology of the man's being born blind. And what we see in the text is John is continuing to connect to what has been revealed in Genesis chapter 1 and also in Exodus chapter 3 in this healing narrative. Apparently, the man's being born blind is a result of the conflict that has been raging ever since the fall. And this explains not only the light versus darkness theme picked up from Genesis 1, but it also explains the good versus evil theme from Genesis 3. Also explains Jesus' unique and wonderful act of recreating this man, restoring his sight, who is never given a name, just like the woman at the well, never given a name. The Lord God had originally formed man in the Genesis story, Genesis 1. Remember, light brought into darkness. The Lord God had formed the original man. How? Genesis 2, verse 7. He took dust from the earth, and he breathed into man's nostrils, and man became a living being. From the dust of the ground. That's how it happened. How does Jesus choose to heal this man? From the dust of the ground. The original act of creation of the original man was absolutely good, but it has gone bad because of the cosmic conflict. John is showing Jesus as the one who has come to restore all things. And not only is he the light of the world, but he is also the one with the power to recreate from the very dust of the ground, as he had done in Genesis chapter 1. Jesus in John chapter 9 verse 4, "As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." He had said that just moments ago in chapter 8 verse 12, and here he says it again. Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it in the man's eyes. The same one who had recruited Moses and Abraham, the same one who was and is the great I Am, is this one who solves this man's problem by giving him back his sight in the same way that the original man had been created in Genesis chapter 1. Do you see? Have you seen this one thing that we all say we know? Do you know the one thing? John chapter 9, verse 24. The religious leaders, second time they summoned the man who had been born blind. "Give glory to God," they said. "And we know this man is a sinner." But the man replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. This one thing I do know. I was blind, but now I see." A man was born blind. Sickness and disease, light and darkness. I hope this one thing is one thing that you know. And at this moment, I hope you are thinking of COVID-19. Light and dark, good and evil,
sickness, disease versus wholeness and well-being. All of these come together right here in John chapter 9, and they fall under the dominion of this one who has come to restore all things, falls under the dominion of the one who loves all humanity.
If this is who we are, if this is the one thing that we too know, then most assuredly, everything that is going around us right now shall not be able to harm us and should not cause us to fear. The cosmic conflict has already been won, and we simply are asked to walk by faith in the midst of whatever it is that remains until we, like the blind man, will see Jesus face to face. Until that day comes, even so, come quickly, Lord. And all God's people say, Amen. We'll turn the tape back on, or the video. And then we'll pray the Lord's Prayer. And after the Lord's Prayer, and I'll say a little pastoral prayer, we can have the benediction, and then In Christ Alone from the songbook. Does that sound okay? Let us pray. Lord God of this morning hour, we are not afraid to ask you for healing, for health, for miracles in relation to COVID-19. There is so much that we don't know, and so much that is taking place. And even as of yet, Lord, not a single case, even though the cases are doubling all around us and have more than doubled in the state of Kansas since the last time that we have gathered together, we are not above asking, God, that you would do a miracle and protect our community, the whole county. We thank you for your love for us. And we declare that this one thing is true of us, that we used to be blind, but now we see. And because we see you, we can never go back. So heal us, Lord. Cause this nation to return to you. You're giving so many wonderful signs and opportunities in order to repent, to acknowledge you. We have confessed our sin. We have acknowledged that you are God and we are not. And we are praying, Lord, for miracle after miracle, that this sickness and disease would be wiped from planet Earth, and that you would spare us. In Jesus' name, hear us as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace now and forever. Amen.